Okay, welcome to the Lagnapod, the Ash Wednesday edition. This week is the lonely Lagnapod because it's just myself, Ashley Trice, one of the co-publishers, and Del Leash, one of our reporters here today.
Hi.
You know, everyone, it's Ash Wednesday. Suddenly no one's here.
Yeah.
Do the math on that one.
A lot of drying out, right?
Yes, yeah. Del, how was the rest of your Mardi Gras?
It was cold.
Yes,
it was very, very cold. We stayed in most of the time. Did some barbecuing at the house, and just had we have a pod with our neighbors, and so we kind of just hung out with them.
So you did not do any downtowning?
No.
Oh, and you said
like a true Mobilian. I did that on Joe Kane Day.
Oh, that's very, very good. But you did say the city released crowd estimates for downtown.
It prepared to be shocked. I think in part because of the cold weather, they said that 1,700 people came downtown, and they had like cordoned off a section of downtown to let people, revel and have a good time and try to be safe about it. And yeah, they had 1,700 people downtown on Tuesday, which, to put in perspective, I mean, we're usually on Fat Tuesday in the city of Mobile, you're looking at 100,000 people downtown,
wow,
give or take. So it was a big departure. Obviously, there were no parades. There weren't any sanctioned festivities
going on.
I
saw a mobile mask where folly killed death. So all is right with the world.
I was going to say, man, that's a relief. That's a relief. And then, yeah, to put that, so 100,000 people come, and then on a normal, Art Walk night, it's 2,000, so it was even less than Art Walk would have been.
Yeah, thank Mother Nature for that. I'm sure. Yeah. I also saw the Comet Cowboys had where you could drop by their songs this year, and they were actually, they get a lot of heat sometimes, deservedly so, for pushing the envelope a little too far. But I thought they were pretty tame this year for the most part.
They were pretty tame. Some that I really enjoyed. There was some people would call it a cheap shot if you're a fan of the South Alabama Jaguars.
Which I am, as a proud alum.
But one that I saw was, it said, Kane Womack, I hope you're renting.
I know. I thought that was pretty brutal. But I was like, is that really directed at him? Or is it directed more at the administration? But I mean, they gave Coach Mask four years to turn it around. So I thought, that's, we'll see. But we're gonna hope that he is so good that he's gonna get snatched up by someone else. So maybe that's what they meant.
If you listen to Tommy, there's a lot of excitement about the program now. Yeah. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. But anyway, so we closed out Mardi Gras, and that means it's Lent. Today is Ash Wednesday.
I got to get up early and go to church this morning.
And so Lent has, I'm not a Catholic, but I know you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the way we do the ashes and all has changed. Can you talk
so,
a little bit about
so,
that?
So, yeah, for people that aren't Catholic and don't know, on Ash Wednesday, you go to Mass, and the priest usually takes up, a thumbful of palm frond ashes. And he, kind of makes a cross on your forehead. That may sound weird, but that's just what happens. This year was a little bit different, though. And David, our other resident Catholic here at Lanyap HQ, him and Rob, but mostly David. He said at their church at St. Lawrence in Fairhope, they used a Q-tip, a different Q-tip each time.
Is it a really long Q-tip?
I don't know how long the Q-tip was. I assume it was normal size. They used a Q-tip because they didn't want to touch foreheads.
Right.
And at St. Mary's, where I went, because that was the early Mass for Ash Wednesday, they just sprinkled your head. So for different people, like if you were bald or you had white hair like my dad does, it was very visible. For me, not so much. It just looks like I've got
dry shampoo for you.
Dry shampoo in my hair.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting pandemic-fueled Ash Wednesday. But it was, felt good to get out after the revelry and
cleanse all your sins.
Cleanse all your your soul. Yes.
Yes. Poor Del. Today is actually my birthday. Not a great day to have a birthday, Ash Wednesday. But every now and then it falls on Fat Tuesday, so it's worth the price. But poor Del gave up sweets, so he could not partake in the donuts and cake that we had this morning.
That's
so
all right.
He was a good Catholic.
I'll survive.
Well, Dale, let's kind of turn the page here and talk about the new cover story.
Okay.
So Gabe Tynes did a really good breakdown on what's happening in Montgomery, or lack thereof, as I like to say. So the big, you can read all of the different initiatives. There's several COVID initiatives they're working on, also COVID relief, also some education bills, trying to get teachers raises and stuff like that. But the main thing, the big headline of this session is the gaming proposal.
Right.
And so,
and you can tell by our cover, which is just dice.
Yeah. So basically Dale Marsh has introduced this bill, and it will set up a gaming commission for a lottery, and then pretty much allow the Porch Creek Indians to run casinos that are, you know, that
They negotiate a compact with the governor.
So, that'll put five casinos in the state, including Mobile Greyhound Park, which the Porch Creek Indians own a majority stake in. So, it would be a big deal for Mobile because it would be, I mean, the gaming, it allows poker, blackjack, those slot machines, just like Biloxi, sports betting.
Right. You'd kind of have a mecca here too, because you'd have Atmore, which is within driving distance,
right,
and you'd also have the Greyhound Park, which is within driving distance.
Yeah, and so, and I mean, it would bring, I think the projected revenue is $700 million in, and then the county, it would get 5% of that. And other parts of the state, the city that the casino is in, they get 2%, and the county gets 3%. But since the Greyhound Park is in
totally
in the county, the county get all 5%, which makes me wonder, is Theodore going to start scrambling to incorporate, or will the city try to annex it? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty far outside of the city limits.
Right.
But you said there might be some way they could grab that money somehow, right?
Well, I mean, if the past is any indication, the city of Mobile will be very aggressive in changing the language of the legislation if it impacts the city negatively, a la the SSUT, which provided sales tax revenue on online sales. The city has worked diligently to kind of increase its share and other cities' share throughout, since the time it was passed. So I see a similar, I have no knowledge of this. I have not talked to the city about it, but I could see a scenario where the city tries to fight for a little bit more revenue, or more likely they try to open up a site for maybe a casino downtown.
Yeah, I mean, of course, are they going to put two right in proximity? I know I believe the Porch Creek Indians own the old Press Register building, but I mean, it seems like the logistics of that would be the parking and all that.
But
all the hotels and all, that would be a good place, because, I mean, right now in Theodore, I haven't been out to the Greyhound Park in a very long time, but I don't think there are many hotels or anything. They definitely have to build more infrastructure around it. But
the money makes people innovate, so I'm sure they'll figure a way around it if they can.
And I mean it's going to a lot of great things. I mean, college scholarships, they'll be need and merit based, and also apparently they're going to put some sort of limit or on what you can get them for in demand fields, like, so I'm sure it'll be nursing, teaching, maybe medical, I don't know. But
so you're saying if you want to be a journalist like us, you're going to have to do it
the old-fashioned way. If you're terrible at science like us, you're going to have to pay for it yourself. Apparently some of the money will be used for agricultural grants, which State Senator Dale Marsh just straight out said, well, Alpha was going to oppose it.
Right.
So we're going to give them this.
You got to make everybody
politics.
Happy. Yeah, absolutely.
But then also it will go to rural broadband. Some of the money, which is desperately needed. I don't know how much time you spend outside of the city, but when we go up to my husband's family's, there are patches of where there is no internet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. And then also for rural health and mental health. So, I mean, some really good. I mean, you know, I guess the biggest.
And it's not just casinos either. There's a lottery aspect to it too, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess the biggest criticism this gets is that it's that the Porch Creek Indians are the only people who can run the casinos. Why not open it up to the free market? But Senator Marsh has said, you know, this is really the only way we're going to get it done with the political realities.
Absolutely.
So that's all we're going to have for this segment. But we'll be right back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the council meeting today. Some interesting things are coming up.
Yeah, Wednesday council meeting. It's fun.
Ooh, all right. We'll be right back.
Hero Sports Bar and Grill now open 7 days a week at both locations. Ask about our new hot wings, the Singapore Sting and the Nature Boy. Woo! Come have a clipper at Heroes, Mobile's own since 1998. Hero Sports Bar and Grill now offers curbside 7 days a week. Call 433-HERO for Dolphin Street or 341-WING for Hillcrest. Try our kick-ass spinach and crawfish dip. And thanks for supporting Heroes, a Mobile original since 1998.
Okay, we are back to the second segment of the Ash Wednesday Lonely Lagnapod with Dale Leash, our Lanyard reporter, and myself, Ashley Trice, co-publisher. We were talking about gambling and Mardi Gras, and obviously, duh, the reason we didn't have Mardi Gras parades this year is because of the pandemic. And hopefully, I mean, it sounds like it was pretty tame downtown, so we won't be the subject of a super spreader news story, I hope. But Dale, you did a little work on the vaccine, the latest on the vaccines. What's going on with that?
Well, you know, teacher vaccinations have been kind of talked about nationally, and here locally, efforts to vaccinate teachers has kind of kicked into high gear. My wife's a teacher, so this is something that's kind of near and dear to me. I went over to Baldwin County, last week and, to the new Bell Forest Elementary School. And, they were doing a vaccine clinic. USA Health was doing a vaccine clinic over there in Bell Forest. And, they basically, any teacher that wanted a vaccine could get a vaccine at the school. And the principal whose picture is in the paper this week got one as well. And, USA had gone to every school in Baldwin County and done the same thing through a 3-day period. They had two separate teams that did, you know, a number of schools a day, and they got to every one of them.
Wow.
In 3 days before Mardi Gras, really before the Mardi Gras break. And so, Mobile County did something similar as well. They had, they gave teachers appointments at the Pro Health, at Infirmary Health in Mobile.
Yeah.
And they actually had the school nurses come down and do the vaccines for the teachers to not kind of disrupt the other vaccinations
right.
that were going on. And for teachers who couldn't or didn't want to leave during school hours to get the vaccine, they opened up the vaccine clinic at the Civic Center on Saturday for teachers. And they vaccinated about 2,200 people on Saturday,
wow.
which is a huge feat, because when the Civic Center vaccination started, they were doing about 300 a day. So they've really ramped it up. And that means is it's good news for everyone who wants to get out of this pandemic shadow.
I know. I can't wait to get mine. I'm like, jab me, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did see on the news where, you know, the cold weather has made getting the vaccine here by truck difficult. So hopefully that will only be a couple of days of a delay. So.
And right now, USA Health said that the supply is not as big a problem as it was early on. So let's hope that those frozen roadways don't lead to another supply problem.
Oh no, that would not be good. So on another note, you had the great joy of going to the city council meeting this morning instead of yesterday,
Well, because of the pandemic, I watched it.
Yeah.
Virtually, they're still meeting virtually, and yeah, they talked about a number of important issues that we can get into.
Yeah, let's do it. So, what do you want to dive into first?
So I know you've probably, since the pandemic started, everybody's forgotten about Amtrak and its proposal to come to Mobile and provide a train service from Mobile to New Orleans. But
right.
But that was back on the agenda today. Basically because the federal grant that the city had received was kind of getting ready to expire. It had been extended, and in order to fulfill the grant requirements and not have to pay something in the neighborhood of $95,000 back to the feds, the city was going to have to pony up more money to provide a study on alternate sites for the train station. I mean, so initially the train station was going to be the possible train station was going to be at right in front of at the convention center, right in front of Cooper Riverside Park.
That little spit of land right there where everyone parks is kind of just like dirt, basically.
But apparently, apparently that's not going to work. And anyway, we got that Hall of Fame park going there now.
Yeah.
And so instead, they've talked about Brooklee. That may or may not happen, but they do want to study more more locations, and to do that, the city needs to pony up $80,000.
And are they going to do that?
And that is where the debate lies, my friend. Joel Daves and Councilman Joel Daves and Councilman John Williams seem to be against giving $80,000 or $80,000 more to this effort, largely because two of the contingencies that they put in the initial funding was to do a freight rail study to make sure that it wouldn't disrupt freight rail too much, and also to have the Southern Rail Commission provide funding for infrastructure.
Right.
Neither one of those things have come to fruition yet. They have not done the freight rail study that keeps getting put off month after month, and is put off again. So, you know, Joel Daves basically said, I'm not comfortable giving this money when they haven't done anything that we've asked for them to do to get the original funding. And he's like, I just don't see it. He called the short trip from Mobile to New Orleans basically a joyride or a fun ride for the affluent. Didn't think there was any necessity to it. He called it an amusement park on wheels. So he's definitely.
Are these bad things? and the amusement park on wheels part anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of torn on that too. Will you take a train? I mean, if you're going to make the train part of it, you know, the part of it, like you're looking forward to the journey,
right?
And instead of the destination, then yeah, maybe. But are people really going to not take their cars to be able to get around everywhere?
Right.
I don't know.
And to his credit, Wiley Blankenship kind of refuted some of those comments. He's a Mobilian. He does business here in Mobile, and he is president of the Southern Rail Commission.
Right.
So he spoke to me a little bit today about, you know, Joel Daves' comments and what it means, and basically said that in his experience riding the train, even on a short trip to New Orleans, you know, he ran into several people that just, you know, didn't have a car and use the train as transportation or
I would think it actually would be more like he said affluent. I would think it would actually give more opportunity for people who don't have cars.
And that's what Wiley said. Yeah. Not only that, but if you're taking a longer trip, you know, people who can't afford plane tickets will take the train. I mean, the train's not all that cheap.
And when you get to New Orleans, you can wait. I think you can take the train all the way to Chicago.
I think Los Angeles. There are other options but definitely Chicago is definitely a. So there are other options along besides just going to New Orleans for the weekend. So they held it over this week because everything that gets first read usually gets held over. Yeah. So they'll talk about it again next week. One thing that they did pass though was the food truck ordinance.
Oh, really? That's
had a lot of local
hot
interest.
Topic. Yeah.
That's had a lot of local interest among restaurateurs and food truck operators. And basically this new ordinance would prohibit food trucks within 150 feet of a seating area for a restaurant.
Okay.
It would also require their generators to be 65 decibels or less, and no loudspeakers, no noise like that of any sort. They're prohibited from. They have to get a business license. They're prohibited from using like the park and stuff without a permit that the park would give. or the Parks Department would give. So it's
do you think this will appease everyone, or everyone's a little unhappy, so that should be good? You know?
I think everyone's a little unhappy with this. I think definitely from my experience talking to food truck owners are a lot more upset about it than the brick and mortar establishments probably are. But you know, you gotta everything eventually comes down to, you know, the city is going to regulate everything that it can. So I think it was just regulation was inevitable. I think so. We'll see if we need to, if it needs to be tweaked or anything. I guess we'll find out. But it was pretty much a compromise. At least that's what the city council's calling it.
Well, that's good. Well, speaking of brick and mortar restaurants, let's hear a word from our sponsor, Heroes. And then after that, when we come back, we're going to be talking with sports editor. He's going to join our Lonely Pod to talk about USA Baseball and also
Heroes Sports Bar and Grill now open 7 days a week at both locations. Ask about our new hot wings, the Singapore Sting and the Nature Boy. Woo! Come have a clipper at Heroes, Mobile's own since 1998. Heroes Sports Bar and Grill now offers curbside 7 days a week. Call 433-HERO for Dauphin Street or 341-WING for Hillcrest. Try our kick-ass spinach and crawfish dip. And thanks for supporting Heroes, a Mobile original since 1998.
You've always turned to Lagniappe for award-winning local news, in-depth investigative reporting, commentary, cuisine reviews, and arts and entertainment coverage. And now, under the leadership of sports editor Tommy Hicks, we're also home to the best sports pages in Alabama. Lagniappe is your local newspaper. As always, you can pick up the print version for free at any of our Regal Purple boxes scattered across Mobile and Baldwin counties. And by purchasing a Lagniappe digital subscription for just 21 cents a day, you'll help us continue to give you a great paper. Plus, you'll also get access to lagniappemobile.com on up to 5 devices and almost daily web-only content and breaking news, not to mention access to our archives. Just 21 cents a day for a Lagniappe digital subscription. And right now, with the purchase of any annual Lagniappe digital subscription, you'll get a cool Lagniappe t-shirt. Just a little Lagniappe for you. So sign up today at lagniappemobile.com and help keep Mobile funky.
And we are back for the final segment of the Lagnapod, Ash Wednesday edition, where sports editor Tommy Hicks has joined Dale and myself. Say hi.
Hi, guys. How is everybody?
And so this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about South Alabama, one of the biggest employers in our county, for sure, probably the state.
Plus, we just lost all the fans talking about that Kane Womack joke, so this is perfect timing.
I know. I do not approve of that Kane Womack joke. I'm excited about football season this year. But anyway, we do want to say that USA President Tony Waldrop is not dead, which you may think that from our headline, which is Better Place.
That's my fault.
But he is retiring, and he is moving to a place he considers better, maybe.
No, actually,
he left South a better place.
In a better place. That should have quotes around it. That's all on me, guys. It does sound like he kind of died. He did not die. He's very much alive. He's retiring after 7 years at USA. Going to move. His wife got a job at Duke, and you know she's been following him around his whole career. So he figured it was time to repay her and follow her for once. We kind of talked about his accomplishments in the 7 years there. Notably, he was very, very excited about the financial condition that the university was in, the financial place that they were in since he took over. He's basically turned their reserves from having a negative fund balance to really pumping them up a little bit to kind of get them in a better place financially. He credited people he's hired, not necessarily just himself, but people that he's hired along the way as part of the deal.
Yeah. Randy Kennedy had an interesting little tidbit about him too. Now I can't remember exactly, but do you remember, Tom? He was also
He was a gold medalist at the Pan Am Games back when he was a very good middle distance runner, and in fact could have probably qualified for the 76 Olympics had that been something he wanted to do. But I think he chose to step into academia instead, and
where you need to be a good long distance runner, perhaps. Yeah.
And I mentioned that his wife is going to a job at Duke, and she is. But interestingly enough, the two of them met at UNC.
Yes.
So they're big UNC, basketball, football fans. So while she'll be working for Duke, and her allegiances will be from an employment standpoint to Duke, she's still rooting for that Carolina blue.
Of course, that's always going to be interesting.
So I thought that was interesting. And as far as he goes, he says he doesn't know what he's going to do. He quote unquote might volunteer at UNC if they want him to. But that's a big if, I guess. We kind of got into some of the things, some of the other things he's accomplished, or at least was witness to, and part of that was the new football stadium.
Right, which he was very generous in saying that was well in the works before I got here, but
well in the works,
it still happened under his tenure. So,
and he was very proud of the fact that they didn't use tuition money for that. That they used other funds, and I guess the original plan was to use tuition money, and he kind of balked at that. But yeah, he said that was something that needed to happen. That it'll help grow USA Athletics and things like that. So, he's very proud of that, and very proud that he left USA in a better place than where he found it. And he's going to finish out the school year, and then they're going to have a nationwide search for his replacement.
Yeah, that'll be a big deal.
Yeah.
So speaking of South, Tommy, we're talking South Alabama baseball. This issue, what you got going on?
Yeah, they're finally getting started. It was interesting. Mark Calvey, their head coach, was trying to put their schedule together, and his hope was to have a home series to start the season. And team after team after team kept dropping out, saying, yeah, they would come, but they dropped out. They went through like six, maybe seven teams.
Wow.
But just because of COVID issues and travel issues and things of that nature, that they just couldn't. They'd have a team scheduled and one would drop out. So they were scheduled. It was interesting. This continued on till Tuesday after our deadline.
Right.
Our deadline has them playing in Hammond, Louisiana this weekend. But on Tuesday, yesterday, they announced that, no, they've canceled that. And they are going to have a home series. And they're going to play Southeast Missouri in a three-game series Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here at home. So he's getting his wish. It just took a little while to make it happen.
Isn't it awesome when things happen like right after deadline? Isn't that the greatest?
Yeah. I love it when those happen.
Reporting during the time of COVID. Yeah. We're all dealing with that. But so do they have the same capacity restrictions at the baseball?
Yes, everybody's going with 25%, I believe. It's according to how a lot of places it's according to how your stands are situated and how you can spread people out. They have some seats at South that are out in the outfield, so you can put some people out there that are not, right behind or behind the plate or down the baseline. So they have some options there where they can use to spread some people out to get in, but normally about 25%.
Yeah, well, it's always, I love going out there on a pretty day and seeing.
Better wear a blanket, although it's supposed to get warmer this weekend, so it should be pretty good.
A little bit sunnier. And so, University of Mobile and Spring Hill College, they've got some baseball news as well.
Yeah, they're going to play each other. They've already, both have started. Mobile had gotten in one game. I mean, Mobile had gotten in two or three games, and Spring Hill had gotten in one. They're interesting. Their rivalry goes back to 91 when Mobile first started playing baseball. And in these times when it is tough to get scheduled, it's nice to have somebody up the street where you can schedule. So they've scheduled five games with each other, all in the next 10 days, I guess. Friday they will play, and I'm trying to use my memory here. Friday at Mobile, Saturday at Spring Hill, and then Sunday at Hank Aaron Stadium. And then next week, they will come back and play one game at Spring Hill and one game at Hank Aaron. So five games between those two teams in like a 10-day stretch. It'll be pretty fun.
It seems like it used to be a much more heated rivalry, I guess, when they were in the same conference. It
is regaining some steam. Back when they were in the same conference, that obviously made it those games a lot more important. Then they split conferences, and now they have split divisions. Spring Hill is in Division II, NCAA Division II now, whereas the University of Mobile is still in NAIA. So when they did that, at some point, Spring Hill lost a lot of its scholarships. They were only allowed a certain number, really small number. Baseball is difficult. You know, everybody talks about football, you can sign 25 a year. Well, baseball, you only get 12 scholarships, and usually those things get split up. You know, they'll dice them up to try to get more players there. If you get a full ride in baseball, you're quite the baseball player.
Right.
So they normally have to space them. Well, during that time, Spring Hill's talent level dropped, as one would imagine.
Yeah.
And Mobile kind of took the dominance there. But it's coming back now that Spring Hill and is building back up his scholarships, and they're both playing together. So these series this weekend should be pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And we've talked about Sarah Thomas the last 2 weeks, so I don't want to get too far down into that, but you do have a great interview with her about her experience at the Super Bowl, so definitely check that out. But I did want to ask you, the other big news of the week, the Gus bus has headed down to Central Florida, right?
He has been knighted. As a golden
literally
knight.
Knighted. Yeah, that's how stupid that is. Yes.
Which knights don't knight? I don't know.
Yeah, the royalty knights.
Yeah.
That's right. They don't even know what they're doing at Central Florida.
There it is.
There we go. But, so.
Someone said to ask him if someone on Twitter thought that a good question would ask him if he thought that Central Florida deserved the national championship of the year. They went undefeated because the last victory was against.
That's
Auburn
right.
In a bowl game.
That's a good question. I wonder what he have to say about that.
But, I'm sure not much.
I got some things to say about that.
You always have some things.
I'm not an Auburn fan, but I mean, I kind of felt like you got some unfair treatment there. I don't know.
When you walk away with $21 million, I don't
I'm
think
not weeping
unfair.
For him or anything. Don't
and then he gets
wrong.
To sign. He signed an $11 million contract, and that does not come away from the Auburn thing because Auburn was a buyout.
So he just has like
so
biggest,
that's just yeah. another $11 million. So, Gus will be fine.
Yeah, and he probably does have to deal with all those
Gus
boosters,
can go to every Waffle House ever built, ever. And still have money left over.
In the last, 20 seconds, what do you think this will do UCF in the future, maybe a major conference in the future, anything like that?
I don't think the head coach has a lot to do with that. I mean, you got to show a standard of success in your, to up. And for them, only up is an SEC or
ACC,
something like that. Right. That's always going to be possible, the way things change.
Right.
Back and forth with conference alignments. It's just according to, can you make money for our conference?
So, Tommy, tell us what you have coming up next week.
This week we have kind of a cool story. There's Casey Ferguson is a basketball player at South Alabama on the women's basketball team, but she started doing TikTok videos on cooking and stuff like that. She'll just cook. Or she takes recipes from people to follow her and do this stuff. Well, she has 2 million followers right now. More than 2 million followers, which is
you can make some real money off of that.
Just crazy. Okay. And she's talking about merchandise starting to come up soon with hats and t-shirts and stuff. So it was pretty cool. We'll have a little interview with her about talking about how she got started with that and everything. It should be pretty good for everybody.
Well, that sounds great. Okay, well, this is going to wrap up this Ash Wednesday edition of the Lagna Pod. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next week.
The Lagna Pod is a Something Extra publishing production. Executive producers are Rob Holbert and Ashley Trice. Music is by Some Pulse Sounds and Electro Animals. To sign up for a Lagniappe digital subscription to have continued access to this podcast, go to my.lagniappemobile.com. For Lagniappod advertising opportunities, please call 251 450 4466.